I saw a statistic this week that says 38% of homeless people are in that condition clearly due to their addiction to alcohol. You know, that's probably that high or more those that are incarcerated. That there's an addiction that has led them to that point. Crimes are committed trying to feed their addictions. The world, our country, our county is full of addictions. Rampant addictions. You say, Brother Ziegler, what are you doing preaching on addictions here at Wise Ball Community Church? I'm not preaching on addictions. I'm setting a little bit of a groundwork. Because what we find in the midst of these scenarios, or this statistic of 38%, is that people are longing for something. There's a hunger within the heart of individuals for something. It doesn't have to be said, but I'll say it anyway. Hungering for something that they don't have. Looking for something to satisfy. That would indicate that people, humanity, on the whole, common, are in a state of unrest. Longing. We can trace it, we can study it, we can finagle our mind all around all kinds of things, but the bottom line to it all is that it began when sin entered this world. You and I know very little about the Garden of Eden. We've never seen it, we've never been there. Well, some people may have been to where it was, but we've never been to the Garden of Eden. Nobody, no human being has been in the Garden of Eden since Adam and Eve were exiled, pushed out. But one thing is for certain that we do have an understanding about the Garden of Eden, and that is that it was a serene place. It was a peaceful place where God came and walked with man and talked with them, communed with them, and they looked forward to that. But then when somehow sin was able to get in, and the choice was made to partake of sin and allowing sin to come in, it disturbed that rest. Now, rest is not something new to the New Testament. Rest is not new to Hebrews. As a matter of fact, we find it back in Genesis. We find the root of rest in the Garden of Eden, because it was in the Garden of Eden that God established rest. He labored for 6 days, creating all that there is in the world, all that was created, all that was done in those 6 days. And then he established that one day of rest. There's so many different meanings of rest, and I'm not going to go into those this morning. But God was doing more in that Sabbath day of rest than just laying aside his work. He was establishing a principle or a pattern, even a shadow, of rest yet to come. He laid aside all of his work, and I'm not going to try to get into whatever it was that was part of the Sunday school lesson last week. But he rested. And he established that, or he made that a principle of rest. We find it then also, not only as the Sabbath day of rest, but then we'll find in the Old Testament that Canaan became the shadow of rest, or the picture of rest. Talking about the children of Israel pressing through the wilderness and leaving Egypt with all of its chaos and with all of its bondage, with all of the pain that they had experienced in Egypt, and they were escaping all of that and going across the wilderness to Canaan, to the land of rest. They weren't going to have to build cities. They weren't going to have to build houses. They weren't going to be having to labor hard in the gardens, at least not at the beginning, because everything was done. They were just supposed to go in and claim the land. And what beautiful rest was pictured there for this people, this children of God. Come over into the New Testament. Jesus tells his followers, he's telling the church, he's telling the people that were all around. In Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's not the same rest that is spoken of when God rested on the seventh day. It has similarities, but there's more to this rest that Jesus is speaking about in Matthew 11. Because this rest is speaking about not just a physical rest from labor, but he's also speaking about a soul or a spiritual rest. Hebrews chapter 3 would give us a warning. It would indicate for us to have a strong warning about this thing called rest. Because in chapter 3 of Hebrews, it would indicate to us that we should be careful, that we should be aware, we should be diligent lest we come up short of the rest. Because in chapter 3, he's telling us that there were some that did not enter into that rest due to unbelief and disobedience. Hebrew children, the Old Testament Hebrew children, enjoyed the Sabbath for centuries, the rest on the Sabbath for centuries. And those that had long possessed the land of Canaan had experienced the rest of Canaan. But as we come over here into chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews, it gives to us a deeper look or a more personal look for us, the New Testament church, sharing with us that there is a rest that comes from having faith in Christ. Not just believing that Christ is, or that Jesus is the Son of God, or not just believing all of the principles of faith and all the doctrines of the New Testament, not just simply believing all of that stuff is there, but a result of an actual faith in Christ. A faith that saves from sin, a faith that cleanses from sin, and a faith that satisfies that longing of the soul. "Come unto me, and I will give you rest," he said. So we see here in chapter 4, as it separates the two for us, perhaps unnecessarily, but we'll begin with verse number 1. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. This saving faith in Jesus Christ provides us with a rest from the guilty conscience. Or maybe it's not what you would call a guilty conscience. Maybe there's some things in the conscience that you would call regrets. There's memory and there's remorse and there's the accusing accusations of the conscience. And all of these things may be part of and partial to and resulting in an unrest of the soul. But faith in Christ provides a rest. So that guilty conscience cannot or will not continue to work against the rest of the soul, the strength of the soul. That guilty conscience is laid to rest so that the spirit can rest. We also find that the saving faith in Christ not only gives us a rest from a guilty conscience or the memories of remorse, but also we find that it gives us a rest from the fear of death. Maybe the majority of our congregation today doesn't think too much about death, so we don't have to be thinking about, am I afraid of dying or not? But the reality is that unless Jesus tarries for another 100 years, every one of us will face that death. Maybe as we're sitting here this morning, maybe our thoughts are, well, you know, death isn't all that bad, is it? Just crossing from what little bit we know of this life into the unknown of the next life, and yet we can have a knowledge of the next life because our hope is secure in Christ. But try to imagine what it's like for somebody that does not have a secure hope in Christ. Imagine what it's like for somebody who has the pangs of a guilty conscience that does not experience rest from the sinfulness of their life. And so that brings to them the reality of an unrestful spirit when they think about death. If you've ever been with somebody who was really, truly a Christian at the point of their passing, the point of their crossing from this life into the next, you know that more than likely that person had a rest in their spirit as they approached that point. What a comfort to know. What a comfort to those remaining to know that their family member that passed away did so with a peaceful rest. But if you've ever been with somebody that did not know, it makes it vivid, the realities of the fear of death. I have few examples of that side. Way more examples of those that have had rest. They did not experience the fear of death. But it's troubling to be with somebody who has the fear of death because they know. They know that they have come up short of what God wants and God requires and God said, and they know that the result of the tomorrows are not any better, only worse than what they are today for them. I believe that it speaks to all of us this morning. But I hope that it surely speaks even more so to somebody who has fallen short of the rest that is in Jesus Christ, that has not believed and has not had and hold a faith in Christ. You say, Brother Ziegler, you're forgetting who you're speaking to today. No, I'm not. I believe that God the Holy Spirit is aware of who we're speaking to today. Think about this rest and what the Hebrew writer is speaking about here. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Not only does the lack of rest present a guilty conscience and a fear of death, but it also provides a fear of the wrath of God. I don't believe for a moment this morning that we understand the wrath of God. Because whether we admit it or not, we want to focus. We simply want to focus on His love. We want to specialize in, for God so loved the world. We want our heart to be full of God is love. But when a person has sinned, it's a crime against a holy God. It causes great offense to a holy God. And when we recognize that Jesus Christ came to take away the wrath of God from us, to take upon Himself and to bear the wrath of God, and for us to try to picture and to study and to understand what He faced for us so that we wouldn't have to, would give us at least a glimpse into what the wrath of God is for people that do not have faith in Christ. It's certain judgment. Terrors of judgment. This saving faith gives us a rest from the pangs or the pain, the accusations of a guilty conscience. It gives us a rest from the fear of death. It gives us a rest from the fear of the wrath of God. But we also must understand, we must bring it into our thoughts this morning that this rest, this faith in Christ provides a rest from present sin. Sin is the thing that causes the unrest. Sin is what it is that disturbs the soul. It is sin that causes the alienation from God, that begins the soul to searching for something to satisfy. It's sin that creates that emptiness within, that void that can only be satisfied and can only be filled with God Himself. Made in the image of God and the likeness of God, He has created us to need Him. And we can only be satisfied when we are filled with Him. A rest from the present power of sin. Sin is a hard taskmaster. Pride, envy, jealousy, ambition. All of these things that would develop or work in the soul and create a strength that can enslave, completely enslave the soul. Wherever sin exists, whether it's in a larger or a lesser degree, it creates a tyranny of the soul. And that tyranny of the soul is a life of bondage. And the sinner is the prisoner of his passions and his lust, his sin. Paul describes it as a servant to sin. But faith in Christ, this saving faith, this rest that comes from a faith in Christ, is a rest from the present power of sin. We've looked at four things that this rest saves us from, or it's a rest from, but it's also a rest in. Because a saving faith, this rest that is a result of saving faith, causes us to rest in the loving hands of God. See, there it is again. We can't get away from God's love. This faith, this rest that comes with saving faith, is a faith or a rest that believes and trusts that all things work together for good. This faith, or this rest only comes, can only be received, can only be experienced, can only be enjoyed. This rest that he's speaking about here, this soul rest that takes away all of the pangs of death and all the pangs of the conscience and all the pangs of the wrath of God and all of these things that we're speaking about, of things that are saved from, this rest can only be obtained by faith. Faith in God. We find that in the previous chapter, they did not enter into rest because they did not believe. Look at it in verse 18. It's there. They did not believe. You go on back to a previous verse and we see it, that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. And so rest, spiritual soul rest, only comes with the heart that believes, has faith in Jesus Christ. Not just the reality that he's there, not just the reality that it's a doctrine of the Bible, but it's a reality of the soul, the faith in the plan that Jesus has given us. What's your soul rest like today? How is the rest? I'm not talking about going home after church and after you have a good meal and you feel comfortable and you kick back in a recliner, or maybe you lay down, pillow your head for a little while and you fall asleep. I'm not talking about that kind of physical rest. We're talking about a spiritual rest where, in the midst of all of the chaos and the adversities and all the things that take place around us, there is a secure hope in Jesus Christ because we believe. We believe, we trust, our faith is anchored in him. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Are you at rest spiritually this morning? Let's stand together.